Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1 p.m. and today is at that specific summer time. Today is August 30th. And when we look at what's going on in the markets today, it was a reasonably quiet day on Wall Street. The S&P 500 was down about half of 1%. The Dow Jones was down about the same amount. And the NASDAQ was also in mildly negative territory. So, for example, when we look at the NASDAQ, it is a little bit overbought in the short term, but it has cruised through this 7,500 point level, which was a big round number. When we look at it on the weekly chart, well, it's approximately 700 points overextended relative to the trend mean. So we're at the point where people will be asking whether we're due some pause in consolidation. Well, obviously, people are going to be looking at shares like Apple, Amazon, and Google, and Apple was not quite able to hold on to all of its advance in here today, so the chances are that we are in for at least some pause in consolidation. But there were a significant number of shares that broke up and out of their respective ranges over the last few days. And when we consider that we've seen a significant number of markets that have been going sideways for the last couple of weeks, then the fact that we've seen so many of reasonably large to extremely large cap companies breaking up and out of their respective ranges, well, that is, I think, very encouraging from the perspective of medium-term bulls. But it's all been driven by this enthusiasm about corporate earnings. Corporate earnings broke out in the second quarter to new highs. And corporate earnings generally are a reasonably good lead indicator for trouble in the stock market and particularly the economy. That when corporate earnings turned around in 1996, in 2006, and then in 2014, well, people started to get a little bit antsy about the outlook for the economy. Well, now corporate profits are breaking out again. And that is driven almost certainly by the fiscal stimulus that the USA has embarked upon. It also helps to highlight that the natural peak in corporate earnings would probably have been in 2014, but that by engaging in this additional stimulus package, which is coming late in the cycle, then we are in for another period of corporate profit expansion, and that's one of the key rationales behind the expansion in margins, or excuse me, in valuations that we've seen. That you may be paying a higher valuation now, but if corporate profits continue to rise, well, then that valuation should contract. But that is almost exclusively a U.S. phenomenon. If we across the Pacific and look at what's going on in China, well, then the A-share market was down approximately 1% in here today. And I think when we look at this chart, it's still reasonably consistent on the downside, that you have this succession of ranges one below another, and there has been a distinct absence of these large upward dynamics that would really confirm bullish, our vital spirits were returning to the market. And I think that's a pretty common characteristic. Now, one of the reasons that the Chinese markets were a bit weaker in here today is because President Trump is talking about an additional $200 billion of tariffs, and the full import of that is being, I think, digested as to just how likely that is. And the reality is that we're still in the teeth of this trade war. And there doesn't seem to be a likely positive outcome to any negotiations. The simple fact of the matter is that China has been able to benefit at the expense of the what would be considered developed economies for much of the last 20 years, and some resistance to that is now manifesting itself, and it's probably not before time that to create a somewhat more level playing field. Well, the other market that was moving in an interesting fashion in here today was gold. and it was down about $6, and it's right now closing at around $1,200 on the dot. Well, we did have a small key reversal 3 days ago, and we haven't really had any follow-through on the downside. The price today is closing exactly where it did 3 days ago. The big question is whether we're going to see an additional rally from here to break the progression of lower rally highs. If we do, well, then that will open up the potential for a reversion back up towards the mean. If we look at the other precious metals, well, then silver was down 22 cents in here today, and it is right back testing its lows. So it is back below the $14.50 level. And again, this is a reasonably consistent decline with a progression of lower rally highs and ranges posted one below another. And as long as you have that staircase downtrend, well, it would be hard to argue that we're in a back in a bullish environment. Then when we look at what's going on with platinum, it is back below the $800 area. It hasn't quite been able to sustain a move above that region. That represents the lower side of the overhead trading range. So it is still for the bulls to prove here with the precious metals. The one bright spark was in the palladium market, which was able to put in a positive return in here today. But again, it was not quite able to hold all of the advance. It is right in the region of the trend mean. If it can sustain this move above it, well, that will, I think, help to perhaps give us some indication that there is interest in the precious metals. But it hasn't quite broken the progression of lower rally highs yet. It really would need to sustain a move above 1,000 for that to really demonstrate that this is a return to demand dominance beyond the short term. What we're continually seeing right now are stories about just how much inventory in terms of crude oil the USA has, and a lack of pipelines in which to really get it to market. Well, that is helping to push the price up, that there are these supply bottlenecks. And then you have the fact that Venezuela is collapsing, that Iran is having difficulty exporting its production because tanker companies don't want to be seen to be contravening US sanctions. So, but the more important point is that oil prices have bounced from the region of the trend mean and the upper side of that underlying trading range, and as long as it is holding that $70 area, we can continue to conclude that this is a reasonably consistent medium-term advance. The other point, of course, is that crude oil prices are not surging higher. And at least that is something that is going to be of comfort to some of the major importers, not least China, but of course also India and Japan. Well, the Indian market had been really outperforming in terms of the emerging markets over the course of the last 6 months, and it was in mildly negative territory in here today. But this does not look like anything other than just a pause in consolidation. And the banking sector has also paused below the 32,000 level for the Bombay Banks Index, and so far has held the breakout to new highs. But what is probably weighing on the Indian market is the fact that Reliance Industries is really quite overextended, and it had a small downside key yesterday, but it did follow through on the downside in here today, and that suggests a peak of at least near-term significance. And considering just how much the share has rallied in just the last 8 weeks, well, the potential here is that we are going to at least have some pause and consolidation. Then, when we look at what are rather affectionately being known as the brats, then the emerging market currencies that are under the most pressure are the Brazilian real, which is sustaining the move below four, the Russian ruble, where the dollar has been exhibiting this first step above the base characteristic and then broke higher 3 weeks ago. Then you have the Argentine peso, which was accelerating lower in here today, and it was able to bounce from the 40 level against the dollar, and interest rates have been raised to 60%. But so far, people just do not have the confidence to get in there and buy. The 100-year bond on Argentina is currently trading, I think, in the region of approximately 10%. And it's at a price right now of 71. So if we look at that yield, it has been trending higher in a really quite consistent manner since January. And as long as it is putting in those progression of ranges one above another, then the supply-dominated environment is unlikely to be truly questioned. So but nonetheless, 10% on 100 years, if one really is willing to give Argentina the benefit of the doubt. Well, what is, I think, much more likely is that eventually Argentina will try to buy this back. But the question is where the money for that is actually going to come from. Then we have what's going on with Turkey. Well, Turkey does, to a certain extent, hold Europe to pretty much to ransom, considering how many Syrian refugees it is holding on to and refusing to allow to migrate up into Europe. That is, I think, part of the reason why Germany has been somewhat eager to lend some assistance. I think that if you're thinking from the perspective of a fly on the wall at the Turkish Central Bank, that they would perhaps let the currency strengthen, excuse me, weaken towards 7 before intervening. And we may have seen some potential that that occurred in here today. So it is a big question now whether that 7 area is going to continue to hold. And then you have South Africa, where the rand has been falling back from this 14 level, having encountered resistance around 14 to the rand. The US dollar has now broken higher, and there remain some significant issues with South Africa, not least that you've got this widening fiscal deficit. You have the question about the standard, about whether the standards of governance are static or deteriorating after Ramaphosa has become president. And the market suggests, at least this chart says to me at least, that we are going to see a weaker rand from these levels. And the brats are weighing on sentiment towards emerging markets. And as long as that remains the case, then I think the potential for significant rallies is probably going to be contained. But we also have to at least think about what a potential shopping list might look like. And the Thai index has continued to hold the region of the trend mean, and the Thai baht was a little bit weaker in here today, but again, not in a particularly dynamic manner. But so far, it has not been able to punch through the region of the trend mean. Then, when we think about what's going on in Singapore, well, Singapore isn't going to be particularly influenced by what's going on in terms of the US market, but probably much more influenced by what's going on in China. And the Straits Times Index is continuing to hold at the move below the trend mean. The Singapore dollar was among the strongest currencies in the world all the way from approximately 2009 until 2011, but it's been much more range bound since then. And but I think it is quite clear that the Singapore dollar has been a lot steadier than the regional currency markets, where it has been mostly range bound for the last few years. Well, the likelihood is that Singapore is probably not going to turn to a position of outperformance until things calm down in the rest of the emerging markets, considering that it is a money center and will probably need things to calm down in its client region in order to really benefit. When we think about what's going on in Indonesia, then they have an election coming up, but the stock market index has been reasonably steady in the region of the trend mean. I think it would be much more bullish if it was able to break up and out of this range, but I think people will be keeping a very close eye on what's happening with the rupiah. And it is now coming back towards the region of the lows seen in 2015, and we had substantial central bank activity to support the currency the last time it got to this level. So this is rather important from the perspective of foreign investors, just how much support we're going to get in terms of the currency and Indonesia. Well, we have a lot of machinations going on in the currency markets right now. And the euro was a little bit weaker in here today. It's right now at the upper side of its range and testing the progression of lower rally highs. Well, Europe has got some significant challenges, and this now represents the first area of potential resistance. And the big question is, what is it that is potentially going to drive the euro up and out of this range? And I'm at rather a loss to figure out exactly what that is likely to be. If we look at the Euro Stoxx index, it's been largely range-bound now for over a year, and its ability to rally has been rather contained, regardless of the fact that the euro has been really quite weak over the course of most of this year. Well, the challenges that are going on with regard to Italy are certainly not trivial. And when we look at what's the Italian government bond yield, it has first step above the base characteristics, and that really does suggest that we're going to see a further expansion in the Italian government bond yields right now. When we look at what's going on with Greek yields, well, Greek yields don't have the same pattern as we've had with the Italian yield. The yield remains relatively contained around 4.3%, and it still remains below the region of the trend mean. But it's hard to imagine that we're going to see further containment of the yield, that it's unlikely that it's going to strengthen through 4%. But if we do move into a more, I think, risk-off environment with regard to Europe, then there is the potential that Greek government bonds yields will start to move higher. There is the potentially clear catalytic event that is going to affect peripheral bonds in September, and it is that the ECB is going to stop buying them. Well, they are going to be rolling over expiring bonds, but they're probably only going to do that into the issues of the country whose bonds are expiring. So that's not going to be particularly comforting to the governments of Italy or Greece or indeed Spain or Portugal. Well, that also is one of the reasons why the European stock market has been under a cloud, because it has its own internal issues with regard to the end of the ECB's quantitative easing program, and then it has the issue that a great deal of money has been lent to Turkey, and the ability to get that money back is rather questionable at the current juncture. So we really are talking about two different worlds, where you have Europe that is out in the cold, you have a significant number of the emerging markets which are not doing especially well, a significant number of the commodity producers are not doing especially well, but Australia is a bit of an exception in that regard, and the stock market has sustained this move above 6,000, and it is still holding the short-term progression of higher reaction lows. The Australian dollar is coming back down, having encountered resistance in the region of that overhead trading range. This remains a reasonably consistent medium-term downtrend. The Australians do not want to have a stronger currency, and they are not going to raise rates aggressively. So that does hold out the prospect that we're going to have, potentially, that the housing market and I'm just not typing very effectively. I can't talk and chew gum, apparently. The ASX 300 Banks Index, which had been trending lower from the beginning of 2017 is coming back up towards the region of the trend mean. Well, if it can sustain the move back above the mean and back above the 8,000 level, that will really suggest that we have a high reaction low that's been formed, and that the potential is that we're going to see a recovery, at least for some of these banks. Well, lower interest rates and a buoyant stock market should be beneficial for banks. The bigger question is what's going to happen with the property market. You've definitely seen that prices have started to come down in places like Sydney and Melbourne. But without rising interest rates in an aggressive manner, then that should help to contain any big decline. The big question is what happens with China. And the Chinese market does look under pressure. The Chinese don't want to see the renminbi declining in an aggressive manner, but neither are they willing to do very much to support it. And this current administration is much more about cementing control than creating confidence in the stock market. And I think that's a rather big departure. That when we think about governance, the fact that you now have a totalitarian regime with arguably fascist tendencies in China, that's not great news for the stock market. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.